out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 13th of September, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. We are actually pre-recording this an hour before it goes out. We're not actually live today, but we do have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us anyway. Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, and I'm doing great, really, Sven, because of all the work that you're doing. You know, the archive audio files have been sabotaged, and you know, within a couple of hours, came back stronger and better than had nothing happened at all. And that you need to be publicly thanked for that, and all the work that you do for free. So well, this you. Is me saying thank you, Sven.
Well, thank you for saying so. I think I'm going to discuss it all tomorrow, so I'll just say it briefly now. Archive.org decided to lock us out from the account and remove all the files, basically. But as you say, every time they hit us, we just come back one stronger. I mean, we've now got a much better filing system, a much better archive. You can upload a lot faster to it, and it's our own, so it's completely safe. So we're actually coming out of it better than we were before. But I'm really going to discuss it tomorrow. But hopefully, the last year's worth of the Orthodox Nationalists, the links will be back into the pages by tonight. So it's really not going to take long to actually re-up all the files. The last couple of weeks' worth of links are already back up there. And as you say, we had the problem solved within a couple of hours. I mean, we don't have all our eggs in one basket here at Radio Arian, precisely for when things like that happen.
Well, I want to say just real fast here too, that what I'm going to do on my site, rushjournal.org, is I'm not going to have the audio files on my site at all. I'm just going to link directly to you. So if you want to hear an Orthodox Nationalist via my website, it'll bring you to Radio Arian or a mirror or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. And then you can put all your, you know, you can put a link to each one there on your site. And we'll also get the Voice of Reason archive. We'll get that fixed up again soon as well. I'm going to get into that tomorrow anyway, because we've got, as always, we've got some very interesting news for listeners today, geopolitical news that you've come up with, Matt. And this is to do with Hungary. The EU Parliament's vote to trigger Article 7, allowing punitive measures against Hungary, has provoked disbelief and indignation, with commentators describing the authoritarian move as contrary to the bloc's own self-interests, citing Hungary's anti-immigration policies and concerns about media suppression. The European Parliament voted on Wednesday to invoke the provision known as the nuclear option, which is applied when there is a clear risk of a serious breach of EU values by one of the member states. Implementing Article 7 allows for sanctions to be imposed on Budapest, including stripping the nation of its voting rights in the European Council. The motion, which passed 448-197 with 48 abstentions, was roundly condemned by prominent Eurosceptics. Former UKIP leader and champion of Brexit, Nigel Farage, warned that the vote revealed the ever-tightening authoritarian grip of the European Union. Now there's lots that we can look into on this. I would just say that it looks to me as if they're trying to do this before the European Union vote next year, when the Eurosceptics will be in the majority. They're obviously trying to push this through while they still have the power to do something like that against Mr. Orbán. But what are your views on this, Matt?
Well, it's hard to know even where to start. But a lot like the Radio Arian issue, you know, you knock them down, they come back stronger. Hungary doesn't need the EU. In fact, no one needs the EU. And the first thing I'm going to note is that 25% of the foreign economic activity of Hungary goes to Germany. So here's another reason why Germany is sick and tired of the European Union. The EU is playing with fire. We've spoken about Hungary, Poland, Belarus, Russia, Indonesia, South Korea on this show at one time or another. And what they all have in common is that they're all national socialist states at one time or another, without calling themselves that in most cases, and every last one of which is a powerful economic success, while the liberal democratic states have fallen to pieces. Hungary and Poland, as our listeners know, are economic miracles at a time where everyone else is collapsing. Every single macroeconomic indicator in both Poland and Hungary, who have very similar policies, blows the U.S. and Western Europe out of the water. Their unemployment, thanks to Orbán's workfare programs, is under 3% now. They have a huge trade surplus, thanks to the Germans. They're moving toward, they've always been anti-Russian people, but that's going out the window. Orbán is popular for obvious reasons, and that can only mean that the EU is even less popular. No one needs it. The great thing about this is that it exposes the European Union not just as some trade pact. That's how it was promoted back in 92 when this first happened in Maastricht. But as a liberal entity whose sole purpose is to put left liberalism on everyone it can. That's its purpose. And it shows, again, capitalism as a revolutionary leftist ideology. And I should also note, we said this also with Poland, that Hungary has taken thousands of migrants from Ukraine, from the civil war there, and a handful from Moldova. So, and a handful from Yugoslavia. But no, they're the wrong color. And they're coming very, very close to coming right out and saying that. It's because of these nationalist programs and because of the, you know, putting barriers up against the migrant invaders. That's why this is going on. But they have brought legitimate migrants in from Ukraine, but they are the wrong color. So so the issue is what color their skin is. That's what it comes down to. So it has to be the European Union wants to use these people for cheap labor or to mobilize them against people like us or whatever it is. And that's at the foundation of the issue here.
Well, it also seems that they're rather sanction happy, aren't they? I mean, it's the EU and America. They just want to slap sanctions on everyone. And what they're saying here is they're going to put the sanctions on Hungary for not supporting EU values. Well, as you say, Matt, it's supposed to be a group of people, a group of countries trading together, not enforcing liberal values on everyone. I think this shows that they're actually really quite frightened of the power that Orbán has and the influence that he has. I mean, he's forming unions with Matteo Salvini from Italy. He's forming a pact with the guy from Austria, Sebastian Kurz, or whatever his name is, from Austria. You know, he's working with these other countries and they're working to put a stop to the invasion of Europe. And I think the EU is really worried about this, and they're trying to do something, you know, before they actually lose their power, because they are going to lose their power next year when we have the votes for the European Union. I think the Eurosceptics are going to be in the majority, and, you know, they may be able to undo anything that is actually done to Hungary in that time. But let's have a look at what this Article 7 actually is. The article, which is one of eight, is part of the Treaty on the European Union, which serves as its equivalent of a constitution and has existed in various forms since 1992. I never realized the European Union had a constitution. It is a mechanism for internally punishing any of the 28 states that pose clear risk of a serious breach of the values of respect for human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, the rule of law, and respect for human rights, including the rights of persons belonging to minorities. While it cannot be used to expel an EU member, a country can be stripped of its voting rights and turned into a humiliated outcast at every European meeting. More likely, any specific proposed sanctions would incentivize changes to avoid that fate. So they really think they're going to actually force Orbán into doing the dirty on his own country and betraying his own country here. They think that by threatening sanctions on the country that he's going to turn around and say, oh yes, it's absolutely fine, flood the country with Muslims, open up the borders. That is what what it all boils down to. The one thing that I do worry a little bit about this is that Hungary is in receipt of a lot of development money from the EU. But Orbán, to me, seems a man of integrity. You know, I think he wouldn't, you know, he obviously wants that money from the EU, but I don't think he would take the money to sell out his country. He just doesn't seem that kind of a man to me, Matt.
And his popularity is based on standing firm. Look, this kind of money, any kind of foreign direct investment, at least from the private sector, is not coming into Hungary for charitable purposes. It's coming into Hungary because its owners think that they could turn a profit. And that's not going to change. I don't care what they vote. Now, this has been the problem with Germany that we've talked about in the show, that they're ignoring all the sanctions on Russia because way too many rich Germans have investments over there. And they're not going to divest and lose a fortune because the Americans can't handle the fact they're not a superpower anymore. And because Germany profits heavily from Hungary, 25% of all of their trade goes to Germany, the Germans are going to be now doubly angry. Stop imposing this agenda on us. You know, we're doing well there. And as every indicator in health and education and everything else is going through the roof, the New York Times has the gall to say that this is somehow opposed to democracy. Well, then I'm against democracy then. Too bad for that. But we all know something. That starting around the time the Maastricht Treaty was ratified, I guess it was 92, I guess it's as close to a constitution as the EU gets, they changed the definition. Democracy is just another word for liberalism and leftism now. I mean, even, you know, we still mostly have the prejudice that it refers to, you know, campaigns, elections, and voting. That's not how it's being used. Democracy is the imposition of liberal corporate capitalism on a country, whether or not it's accepted by the voters or not. So that's the issue here. But that's now the buzzword. And of course, the press, we've talked about how they deal with the press, trying to shut down RT and all that stuff. And the fact is, yet again, government media sources are far more reliable than corporate media sources. So those are the issues that the EU has against them. He's being punished for his success, I think is what you're trying to say.
That's what it is, isn't it? I mean, he won the election with an absolute landslide of a vote. There were some protests shortly after, and they actually only took place in the capital city, which of course, as we know, that you know the capital cities of countries, they're the most destroyed, basically. I mean, just look at London, 60% non-white. I dare say that the capital of Hungary is also filled with homosexuals and mongrels and people progressive ideas. So they went out and complained and protested, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he won with an absolutely massive landslide. I forget what it was. I think it was about 70% of the vote. I mean, the man is hugely popular, and yet the European Union has the gall to say that he's threatening democratic values. I do agree with you, Matt. I think what they've done is they've actually changed the meaning of the word democracy to meaning their liberal progressive values. And when a certain amount of people vote that they don't want that, they don't actually see that as democracy, even though it is. I mean, democracy is supposed to be the rule of the people. You know, the maximum number of people that vote for something against the minority, the maximum get their way. That's what democracy is supposed to be. And as soon as, you know, the majority actually say, well, no, we don't want these progressive values, then suddenly they get accused of abusing democracy, and abusing minorities. And yet in the countries where the people that are nationalists are a minority, we're attacked all the time. We don't have anybody that's speaking up for white people as a minority in our own countries. Well, let's have a look at why this is. An official probe launched by the European Parliament claimed earlier that the government of Prime Minister Viktor Orban poses a systemic threat to democracy, the rule of law, and fundamental rights in the country. A systemic threat to democracy and the rule of law. So the whole system needs to go, is what they're saying. Hungarian officials were accused of clamping down on courts and the press, as well as mistreating migrants and ethnic minorities who have no business being in the country in the first place, by the way. The EU Parliament's decision is, however, not the final step. By voting on Wednesday, MEPs passed the motion on to the European Council, which is next to decide whether Hungary has violated EU values and whether it should be stripped of its voting rights. But to do that, the council has to vote unanimously and hear Hungary's arguments first. Well, it'll be good to hear Hungary's arguments. We'll get some of them in a minute. But this EU values thing, I have a sneaking suspicion it is exactly the same as British values. And any of the Zionist-occupied government countries in the West, I'm certain that they will all say that they have these American values, British values, EU values, and they're all absolutely the same. They're all identical. They don't actually differ anymore, and that's because they're not the actual values of the nation. They're not the values of the country. They're the values of George Soros and the globalists that have forced this upon us. I mean, he is Viktor Orban can only be promoting Hungarian values because the Hungarians all voted for him. Why should he be promoting EU values? The EU isn't even a thing. It's not a nation. It's not a country. It's a group of trade. It's trading partners. It's corporations that want to be trading with one another. It has no business talking about anything other than business. This is so insulting to people's intelligence and people's sense of patriotism to say that he's violating EU values when the man is so popular.
So then let me jump in here for a minute. You said in the very first line, I think, systemic. Now in political science, systemic means institutional. And they're being very literal here. They're not just trying to sound smart. When they mean systemic threat, they mean that because his approach, his ideology and his social system, the system itself is different from the rest of Europe, and it's far more successful than the rest of Europe, or Western, the liberal parts of Europe. This is exactly what they mean by the systemic threat. It is systemic. You're talking about two different ideologies and two different systems. When we talked about the American defense doctrine, they say the same thing. That because China is a successful system, very different from ours, it therefore becomes a systemic threat. So that they mean quite literally. I'm not sure what would change if they left the EU. Their patronage by Germany won't change in the least. Russia and China will fill in the gaps. Germany is the actor here. Germany's getting pissed off yet again. Because if any bad thing happens to Hungary, it's going to affect a lot of wealthy Germans. And the same thing goes for Poland, and the same thing goes for Russia. So they're really playing with fire here. France for a long time has been trying to get out, leaving NATO. They've left NATO before. These guys are playing with fire here, and I've said it a million times before. Wherever nationalism has been tried, it's worked in terms of delivering the goods socially and economically. Liberal democracies and the capitalist system it's based on is a failure all over the place, whether it be Eastern Europe or now the depression that we're all permanently in here in the West. That's the second level why this is a systemic threat. It's a challenge to the very system of liberal ideology. So that just that one word, systemic, shows the panic and the anger that these people feel.
So it shows that his views on his country and his nation inform all his decisions and his policies. So it's systemic. So whatever he does in the field of education, he'll be thinking about the Hungarian people and putting them first and thinking about Western civilization and Christianity and the history of Europe. That informs everything he does. So of course he doesn't want George Soros universities. Of course he doesn't want transsexualism and gender studies in the universities. Of course he doesn't want the borders open. So that's what they mean by systemic, you think, Matt?
Well, in other words, what he's doing is part of an ideological way of thinking. He's challenging the EU on an ideological level. Therefore, these aren't arbitrary piecemeal policies. They're systemic in the same way that an ideology is systemic. He doesn't view the world the same way that the EU bureaucrats do. Liberals are demented people. They don't see reality.
His speeches are fantastic. Have you read any of his speeches, Matt?
Just during the campaign. I'm surprised they didn't do to him what they tried to do with what's his name in Austria 15 years ago. I can't think of his name now. In the car accident that killed him, the nationalist leader in Austria. These guys are and he knows he's got to ramp up his security. Because again, these are all successful systems. He doesn't need the EU. But and it just so happens that Hungary, the metropolitan area of Budapest, is the fourth largest economic unit in all of Europe. It is also the fastest growing economy in Europe. They're trying to make it seem, they're trying to make it such that in not following EU policies, the economy is going to be hurt. Because right now, not following EU policies means the economy is going to go through the roof. But that's been the case everywhere. Whatever happens to these countries, Germany is going to take very close notice of. And if Germany goes, then there is no European Union. If Germany goes or even thinks about going, the great victor here is Russia and nationalism in general. So really, I mean, this is outrageous and they're stupid and it's ludicrous and it's hypocritical. But really deep down, this is good news.
Well, I dare say, you know, a lot of people would be really hit quite hard if they weren't actually able to employ the Hungarians. You know, there's a highly skilled Hungarian workforce that is not actually in Hungary, that is working in other countries in Europe because they will work for the low wages.
Is that what they're trying to do? Make it so hire Hungarians?
Well, if they're going to put sanctions on them and try and, you know, how can they put sanctions on Hungary when they're making use of the cheap Hungarian labor everywhere? That is going to harm the EU and it's going to benefit Hungary, isn't it? Because they're going to go back to Hungary and Viktor Orban wants them to come back to Hungary. You know, there's been a great brain drain from, you know, the lower wage areas of Europe, which is hurting these countries. So, you know, I mean, it could benefit them. I heard him give a speech to a university the other day. I read the translation of it. Absolutely fantastic. You know, to all the students at this university in the summer, he addressed them all, these top students, and it was all about his ideology, which is you've got to save Western civilization, you've got to save Christendom, you've got to promote Christian values, you can't replace the population with people from outside of Europe, that's treason. You know, absolutely fantastic speech. Well, let's have a look at what Viktor Orban thinks of this. Viktor Orban's government has framed the process as an ideological attack on its nationalist and conservative values, an act of revenge for its refusal to accept migration policies dictated by Brussels. Hungarians say the specific alleged violations are just a pretext. Orban had one last futile attempt to sway MEPs on Tuesday and used the platform to accuse parliamentarians of insulting and blackmailing Hungary, as well as trying to deny its hard-won democratic rights to decide how to run their own country. He also reiterated that Hungary is a Christian country that retains the right to preserve its own culture in the face of mass migration and will continue to defend its borders. I mean, he's standing there defiant, isn't he, Matt? He's refusing to bow down to them and go along with what they're saying.
I'm not seeing this having any real economic impact except for the positive. And don't forget, as you know, parts of Germany and Sweden and even England fall to pieces, Paris fall to pieces, they're going to be looking for places to go. And you may have a brain drain now in the opposite direction of people realizing that they have a much better future in Poland, Hungary, Belarus, Russia, anywhere, but the West, which is not only, you know, has a debt that it could never repay, the economy is permanently in depression, but is being systematically destroyed from within. In other words, this is a group of people, capitalists and Jews, or whatever it is, that are, as part of a broader ideology, bringing in non-whites that they can manipulate, that they could have work for nothing, and that they could say there's racists over there, go destroy them. You know, having them as a reserve army is extremely important. And if worse comes to worse, arm them, like at the end of the Civil War in the American South. So there may be a brain drain in the opposite direction. This is the case, you know. And I'm not sure how many of these MPs or MEPs are really thinking of Germany here. But I repeat it again. You have so much profit that Germany has turned in Russia, Poland, and Hungary. And now this is the third time the EU is trying to take a chunk out of that. I'm not sure, despite, you know, people like Merkel, this is about dollars and cents to German investors. And that's when you're going to get a very different point of view. And if capitalists start coming over, maybe mid-range capitalists start coming over to Orban's side, now you have a different ballgame.
Well, I'm sure they'd want to be investing in what in what's going on in Hungary. I mean, he's got huge plans for the Carpathian Basin and for making peace with Romania and all sorts of things. I do recommend people check out his speech. I think it's on Countercurrents, a translation of Viktor Orban's speech. And his response to this was actually very good as well. He came out with some very good things when he was actually on the stand. Orban accused the pro-migrant majority of having already made up their minds to invoke the European Union Treaty's Article 7 against Hungary for its treatment of migrants and minorities, and the ruling party purported abuse of the law and suppression of media freedoms. Hungary will not accede to this blackmailing. Hungary will protect its borders, stop illegal migration, and if needed, we will stand up to you, said Orban, who was re-elected with an overwhelming majority in April. Hungary is going to be condemned because the Hungarian people have decided that this country is not going to be a country of migrants, calling the proceedings an insult to his nation. Orban called Hungary the defender of Europe and spoke of its different view on Christianity in Europe, the role of nations and of national culture. These differences cannot be a reason to brand any country and be excluded from joint decisions. We would never go as far as to silence those that do not agree with us, said the Hungarian Prime Minister as the majority of the chamber sat in silence while his mostly Eurosceptic supporters cheered. Now, when we looked at this earlier, I think it was 300 or so to 190. He's got the support of 190 of these Eurosceptics. And in the, when this goes to the next level, it needs to actually be a unanimous decision. I don't know whether there'll be any Eurosceptics involved in the, in this unanimous decision or not, but he does have a lot of support, and he is really becoming the focal point for nationalism in Europe. You know, it's really great to see that he's standing up to them and saying this, because, I mean, he's being really bold with his words there, isn't he? Saying that he is the defender of Europe and they have a different view of Christianity in Europe, the role of the nation and of national culture. All these things that we've been told don't exist in our countries.
Well, this is what I was going to say. You know, they refer to things like the international community or European values as these abstractions, but these are the very same people who will tell you that the nation is a fiction. But you know, international values, although those are quite real. That's what I mean when I say these people live in a fantasy world. The whole media freedom thing is so ironic and hypocritical. You know, they want a handful of Jewish capitalists to control what Hungarians see. Orban says we're not going to have a monopoly corporate media, and therefore he's an attacker of media freedom. So someone who isn't really well versed in this kind of stuff reads something like this and says, oh my God, he must be shutting down newspapers, which is, of course, exactly what they want you to think. This doesn't come, it doesn't sound like it's coming from a system that in any way is secure, because the bottom line is that he's delivered the goods. His economy and Poland's economy is blowing away the economies of Western Europe, which are in a permanent depression. They're not going anywhere. The debt is too high. I think Belgium now is 320%. Of GDP, its debt is. I think Belgium is the highest. And as I said before, he's being punished for his success. The bottom line is that his system works and he can prove it.
Well, he has a mandate to mess with the press. He has a mandate to do whatever the hell he likes. You know, he won with an overwhelming majority. And all he's doing is carrying out what he promised he would do when he was elected. No, nobody else in Europe has such a massive majority that Orban does, and how the European Union can have the cheek to tell him how Hungary should be behaving, what Hungary should be doing. I mean, Hungary is a sovereign nation who have chosen Viktor Orban as their champion, and he is doing the honourable thing and doing the best that he can for his country. And the EU is stepping in and saying, well, we can't have this. We're going to sanction you. You're a threat to democracy. When democracy, it's pure democracy that actually put him where he is. I mean, these attacks saying that he's a threat to the law, we know what that is, don't we? That's because he's brought a law in, the Stop George Soros law, which is basically saying anyone that helps, aids and abets illegal immigrants is going to get a prison sentence. Any charities that help illegal immigrants are going to be taxed and they're going to be banned from operating in Hungary. I mean, these are just common sense things that every nation should have anyway. Illegal immigrants means they are against the law. They are breaking into the country. They are trespassers. All he's done is said that people that help people to break into the country are going to be locked up. And that's their attacks on the law. Attacks on democracy is just the fact that he's so popular. And the more we hear about Orban, you know, the better I think of him. And he really is becoming exactly as he says, the defender of Europe. The man is the defender of Europe. All right, Matt. Well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.